In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy. You have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors, an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of the enemies, from my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realms of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love. When I was in a city under siege, in my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Amen. Just, I felt to revisit this psalm this morning, and it's a psalm that's dear to my heart, but it's especially passionate prayer and for deliverance from overwhelming foes, and it communicates utter despair. There's many low points in this psalm. But I'm glad for the psalms because they really talk directly into our lives, don't they, with the ups and downs that we experience in life. But in the midst of even in the despair of the psalm, there's intense confidence as well in God's ability and intent to deliver. And as you think about the psalm, you can see how it could express the various trying circumstances of David's life, the many attempts on his life by King Saul, his own personal sins and failures, the rebellion of Absalom and the conspiracies he faced. And yet there's an application for us, not only in the ups and downs of life, but we're not just dealing with, the Bible reminds us of flesh and blood enemies. I hope we don't have too many of them. But, you know, we're in a spiritual battle as well, according to Ephesians 6. We're not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. As I looked at this psalm, I noticed a contrasting theme. And David mentions the hands of his enemies, but he also mentions the hands of God. And if all I can see is the hand of the enemy, I'm in a very dark place. And actually, my focus is in the wrong place as well. But David also saw the hands of God. He knew that when he placed himself in the hands of God, he was in safe keeping. And he's assured that God is keeping him. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, he says in verse 8, but have set my feet in a spacious place. And in verse 5, he prays, into your hands I commit my spirit. And of course, immediately we associate that with the prayer, the last prayer of Jesus, one of the last prayers from the cross. In Luke 23, it mentions it in verse 46. But one commentator tells us that Jesus dies uttering words from a psalm of confidence. And this psalm was often used in Jewish evening prayer as one commended oneself into God's care during your night's sleep. So it was a prayer that you said before you went to bed. You commended yourself to God. And as Jesus enters the sleep of death, the commentator puts it, he takes a similar step of faith. His last words are a commentary not only on his death, but also on his life. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And from first to last, Jesus has lived to serve God, his life creed on his lips, and he dies. And the psalm comments on the trust that Jesus places in God as he passes away. And Luke supplies the details of this final confident cry to God. Lament has gone to trust and victory. The righteous sufferer has suffered and won by trusting God every step of the way. And Jesus faced the last great enemy, but he entrusted himself into the hands of the Father. And today we can trust ourselves to God and be assured that he is able to keep us no matter what life throws at us. I like the Message Bible rendering of this. He says, I've put my life in your hands. You won't drop me. You'll never let me down. In verse 12, David is very bleak and says, praise God for the honesty of the Psalms. He says, I am forgotten as though I were dead. I've become like broken pottery. And yet he could say in verse 14, you are my God. And he recognizes that the Lord is a personal God. You are my God, one he can trust in and call upon, and not a distant, disinterested one, like the surrounding nations that seem to only fit into a local pattern. You sort of called on them when some of the Assyrians said, oh, their God is a God of the mountains. He's not a God of the valleys. You know, get them in the valleys and we'll defeat them. But God is the God of the mountains and the valleys. Not only was his life in God's care, he could also say, verse 15, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies. Or every moment of my life is in your hands. And David was assured that God was at work in all the details of his life. My times are in your hands, the bad times, the good times, the indifferent times. He believed, like so many other Bible characters, in the providence of God. I was thinking, my times are in your hands. Somebody sent a little text, and it's more with these little kind of sayings, but basically it's gone out of my head. But it was kind of basically the idea that just because you're not feeling the victory doesn't mean that you've failed. You might feel failure, but that doesn't mean you have failed. But there are times when we failed as well. I was just thinking, my time's in your hands. And David must have felt that too, where he says, there was sin in his life. He failed. But he says, my failing times are in your hands. And my times of restoration and forgiveness are in your hands. My times are in your hands. But the old believers, they had a very strong point in centuries gone by of talking about the providence of God. And what's that? And here's an answer that was penned many hundreds of years ago. And this is how they described it. It is the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were by his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth with all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. You might have some questions about some of that, but it is God's providence is over all. Verse 15, my times, he says, and he knows that God controls history in general and his life in particular. And this comforts him in his distress. But it's more than just a statement about the passage of time. It reveals a deep dependence on God for each new moment, each new critical time in David's life. And each one has the potential for decisive turns for good or evil. Praise God. But David could be also saying, my future is in your hands. My past is in your hands. My present is in your hands. And it reads as a declaration, but it also is rendered as a prayer. Hour by hour, I place my days in your hand, safe from the hands out to get me. That's the Message Bible. I've said this before, but I think it's worth repeating, because really today I just want to declare to you what the Bible says, not my opinions on it. But it's very encouraging. It's John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Praise God. I was David talks again. He talks about God keeping him. He says, my soul clings to you. He says, your right hand upholds me. So I want to say about the Christian life, it's not me clinging to the cliff edge by my fingernails. It's God that is keeping me today. Yes, my soul clings to you in good times and bad times, but it's your right hand that upholds me. Actually, I have told this illustration before, but again, I think it's worth repeating because I always get blessed by it. I just want to share the blessing with you. Amen. It's a lovely illustration. A strong father is walking with his three-year-old son beside a dangerous railroad track. There are two ways the father can protect the son. He can reach out his hand and say to the little boy, now listen, son, hold on tightly to my hand. Because if you let go, you could fall onto the tracks and be killed. You know, parents are always very encouraging, aren't they? The father can say, son, give me your hand. And he takes the boy's hand and holds on to him. And thus the father holds on to the son, rather than the son holding on to the father. Which is the surer method? Jesus said, no one can snatch his sheep out of his hand. We are secure not because we hold tightly to Jesus, but because he holds tightly to us. Into your hands I commit my spirit. My times are in your hands. May the Lord bless every one of you. Amen. Amen, Lord. We thank you today for your presence. We thank you for the knowledge of your love and for your care this day. We thank you that you hold us in your precious hands, in your nail-pierced hands. And today, Lord, we need not fear because you are for us, Lord. and nothing shall separate us from your love this day. Whatever life throws at us, we say, you are Lord, you are God, and we are more than conquerors in your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless every one of you. Amen.
We hope you've been encouraged and uplifted by what we've shared. If today's message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us or join us in person at Castlebar Christian Fellowship. You're always welcome here. Be sure to follow us for more sermons, devotionals, and updates. Until next time, stay strong in faith, love one another, and keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless, and see you soon.